Good morning. May the peace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this morning, here present in church and those listening online and those that possibly will listen in the future, in the days ahead. What is this day for? A day of rest. A day where we can sit down and say, take a little bit of a breather of all the work that we've done during the week and to get together and reflect of what God has done for us or what we should do and different things that the Bible teaches us. But we can read that at home just as well. We know that. But Sunday morning to get together and have fellowship with one another is a great thing to have. And to God be the glory and the thanks to God that he has created it this way, because I know who I am. And if God hadn't made a seventh day to rest, I'd probably still be working today. There would be no time for him. Just go, go, go. And so we give God thanks for that. Thanks for those that God has chosen to lead us in song and those that have received a voice to sing. And those that don't, still thank you that we have a desire to fellowship together in God's word. What was the purpose of sending John the Baptist? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before your throne, I echo the words of Reverend John as he prayed in the prayer room, that everything this morning may come to glorify you, to give you praise. And I pray, Lord, that as whatever is said, as we do in song or in message, Lord God, that you would get the glory and the praise for it. Pray for those that have not been able to come here this morning, maybe for health or other reasons. Lord God, I pray that you would give those families that where there is sickness in their family, that they would feel your presence and that they would feel your loving hand carrying them. And Lord, yes, if it's your will, we pray that you would heal them. We also pray for broken homes, Lord. Homes where there's a difference between dad and child, mom and child, between husband and wife that are struggling. Frustration. A marriage or a family that is torn apart. God, we pray this morning that their mind will be touched by your spirit and that you would penetrate deep into their heart. And they would recognize what they need to do to find peace in life. Thank you this morning, O God, for being here. We pray that your presence may be ever present with us. And Lord, and that you would take the devil and just bind him and throw him out of here. If he's anywhere in this room, in this building, Lord, take him out of here, Lord. And give us that peace to meditate upon your word and be edified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
End of Blue Hymnal, number 221, Love Lifted Me. We invite you to stand.
Lifted me, now safe am I.
number 339. Surely goodness and mercy. Number 224, No Not One.
There's not a friend like the love.
Thank you. Thank you for leading in song, and thank you singing along this morning. I'm a type of person, as long as there's music around me, I'm often okay. Growing up, I often didn't listen to words. Later on in life, when I think back and I listen to some of the words that I listened to in my younger years and recognize how many of those songs were singing about cheating on your wife and so on and so forth. And then I realized what I was listening to. To me, it was the music, not the words. And so as I get older, I tend to listen more to the words that are in there, even though I still enjoy singing. This last song that you chose for us to sing together with, there's such powerful words in there. Such powerful words. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Look around you in this church setting. I trust and believe that each one of us possibly have a friend here in our midst. But there's not one that is such a friend as Jesus. No friend like him is so high and so holy. You maybe have a friend that you can confide in, one that you can trust and you can share your struggles with. But there's not one of your friends that are so high and so holy as Jesus. There's not an hour that he is not near to us. Sometimes we have troubles. We want to reach out to our friend. We can't get a hold of them. Maybe we need something answered. We need a direction. But Jesus is there at every hour. Did every saint find this friend and forsake him? It's a good question, isn't it? Good question. Was there a gift like the Savior given? Have you ever received a gift on your birthday or at Christmas time that is any greater than the gift that God gave? And that's his son, Jesus Christ. I could go on. There's so much powerful questions and words and comments in this song. There's no, not one, he says. No, not one. And so years ago, there was cousins, Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, being old, up in age, received news that she was to bear a child, and her son was to be called John, who we refer to as John the Baptist. 6 months later, there's news that Mary is to bear a son called Jesus. And so the mothers carried each a special child, the one obviously greater than the other. But John the Baptist was one that went out, and he warned the people. He tried to prepare them for one. And his message, the first message that John had, we find in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, especially verse 2. That's where his message was. But verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is far away.'" You got time. Is that what you read? Not what it says. He says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How far is your hand from your face? How far is your hand from your body? How close is it? John was preparing the people. The kingdom is at hand. These people were looking for an earthly kingdom. And John is telling them, it is at hand. How could he say it is at hand? Jesus was not even out preaching yet. Well, Jesus was only 6 months younger than John. And John is already up in age when he's preaching. And so Jesus was at hand. Jesus was in their midst. He was walking with them. And how many people did actually recognize and realize that Jesus was there? And he was the one that they needed to accept the kingdom from. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Who's he speaking about? I understand it's John the Baptist. He's telling him that he's going to go and prepare the way, and that's what he did. He prepared the people. Jesus is at hand. He goes on in verse 1 of Malachi 3, and he says, "And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So it's already prophesied in Malachi that John the Baptist is going to prepare the way for Jesus to come. John warned the people and said, "Repent. You need to change." Jesus, after he's been baptized and he's gone to the wilderness, he spent his 40 days there. He gets tempted and tried by the devil, and three times, as recorded, he uses scripture to back up his words to fight away the temptations of the devil. And after he is finished going through that, he comes out, and it tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, again, the same identical words are written that John said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What an echo. What an echo of John. John said, "You need to change. You need to change because there's something at hand, something you can have. This friend, this lowly friend, so high and so holy is what we could have, is what they could have." But they were looking for something different. So one may ask, when it is preached, repent, what does that mean? What does that look like? "Oh, I'm sorry, God, you know, I failed here. But, you know, you understand that this is just part that we're living in. This is the world we live in. We will go through some of these struggles. And so I will go on living, but I'm sorry, you know, that I've done this, but I will go on living in my sinful state." Is that repentance? Or what is repentance? Repentance is changing our mind. Repentance is changing from the wicked errors of our way and turning to Christ. We would say being remorseful, being sorry of those things that we have done. And by that, we also have to change our mind, our setting, our ways of doing things. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12. I know that might be very familiar words for many of us. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you." He is, I'm going to use my own words in here. Maybe that's not exactly what he means, but he's challenging them. He's telling them and teaching them. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And he tells them these are the mercies of God. He explains it to them before he even tells them what to do. And so we too, we have mercies of God. It is there. It is available to us. "By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Sacrifice is the word. It's not just living. We have to sacrifice our life. We have to give up of ourselves. Jesus had to sacrifice his own life on the cross. He had to give up himself to die for our sins. Here Paul is telling the Romans, you need to live a living sacrifice. You give your bodies over to a living sacrifice. Give up of yourself. Holy, acceptable unto God, presenting our bodies in that way, in a holy, acceptable way of God, which is your reasonable service. He's not saying, I want to ask something really, really extraordinary, something reasonable. When you ask your daughter or your son to go wash dishes, did you ask him to wash the china? Oh, you don't touch that, or you need to wash it a certain way because that's chinaware? No. You ask your child, go wash the dishes. We're just asking you something reasonable. Just go clean it. It's dirty. It needs to be cleaned. And so God is asking us for something reasonable. Is repent. Are we living in sin? Are we living in a state or a time where we desire more of the worldly things than God? How many of you ever in your life feel that today you're up here, I'll use an expression and say cloud nine. You are so pumped full of the Spirit, you are so excited, and you just could go on. There's times that I just feel like I could just not stop preaching. And I want to tell you, last weekend after coming out of the ministerial conference that we had in La Crete, Alberta, what a powerful and wonderful, blessed time we had, right, John? That was so beautiful. And from there, going down to Hayes, Alberta, and spending time there at a gospel festival, again, the presence of the Holy Spirit, so powerful. Friends, I didn't want to leave. I just wanted to stay in that realm. And I knew that when we were going to leave there, that the devil was going to work hard. Did he? Yes, he did work on us. But I had a choice: to go along with his temptations, to allow him to drag me into those desires, or when I did slip in some ways, maybe some words that I used to my spouse, maybe some of my thoughts that I had to change that. I had to be remorseful. I had to repent of that and change. He says in verse 2 of Romans 12, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." There's a transformation. There's a difference. There's a change from this side. We've changed over by the renewing of your mind. Oh, doesn't our mind often want to bring us into places of just serving sin? How many of you listeners this morning have ever thought something of a friend? Oh, man, that person would sure deserve if he got this or that she got this. And later on you stop and you think, how foolish was I to have something like that in my mind? Well, maybe I'm just the odd one. Maybe I'm the only one that has happened to that. But if that's one of you too, doesn't that make one feel like, really? Where did that thought come from? In my regular mind, I would have never thought such an evil thing for someone. And so what do we do? Do we mellow in that? Do we continue to grow in that part, thinking, oh, that person, he deserves this, or she deserves that? And you just keep thinking deeper and deeper and meaner things. Or do we stop and say, Lord, forgive me with those thoughts. Repent, remorse, turn around, be converted, having our mind renewed, as Paul says. And then go out and to prove, as he says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do I do that? Do you, as God's child, do we go out and prove that to the world? Or do we continue to live spiteful, with hatred, with anger, with envy, and so on? John called everyone to repentance because Jesus was at hand. And Jesus comes and says, repent. Change. Give up your wicked ways. Both John and Jesus are asking us to align our life with the kingdom of God. And who is the kingdom of God? Jesus was sent to represent the kingdom of God. Jesus was sent as an example of whom we should align our life to. Which one of you have gone to this morning to your bathroom and looked into the mirror? I suspect every one of us possibly have a mirror in our bathroom. And which ones of you have looked in the bathroom and looked and said, "Who's that?" Or how many of you have said, "I see Jesus in the mirror"? Could we say that? Could we honestly agree that when we look in the mirror, that we saw somebody in the image of Christ or of God? Or is there something that we could look in the mirror and say, I see there's something that needs to be changed. But not today. Not today. Maybe tomorrow if I go look in the mirror. Maybe something will have changed over that time. Or would I say today? What's God's purpose of sending Christ to save the world? John 3:16, very, very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the world. God does not hate anyone. God does not love the sin that we live in, but God does love everyone. And so Jesus is sent to die on the cross because of his love. Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to suffer persecution because of being God's child? Or would we rather not? Then maybe we could say that repentance is not needed because we want to continue to live in our sinful state. But if you and I want to have a life of peace, if we want to have the fruit of spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5, we want to have the love, the peace, and the joy, we need to give up of ourselves. We need to repent. We need to be merciful and change, allowing the renewing of our mind and then allowing Christ, not ourselves, Christ, the triune God, to work through and to prove to the world what is that good and acceptable will of his. What is the greatest thing that God wants? What is the greatest thing that is going to go on into eternity? What is going to be that one thing that's going to last forever, but everything else is going to be gone? It's love. It's love. Do you and I have, first of all, the love for God so deep that we are willing to repent and to allow God to renew the mind in us so he can shine and to prove to the world what is his perfect will? 1 John chapter 1 teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, we lie. Sometimes in one's mind, one feels like I'm the only person that's a sinner. And using you as a congregation as an example, your mind plays with you and say, the rest of you, you have such a perfect life. If only I could be as good as you. But God knows very well that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so that's why God said that he's sending his son Jesus because he loved the world. Not just because he loved Cal. Not just because he loved you. Because he loved the world. everyone. And he sent Jesus to die. And when he calls for repentance, each one individually has to recognize his shortcomings. Confess them, as 1 John chapter 9, 1 verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God is saying to Isaiah, I want to make a deal with you. I want to make something. I want to reason with you. I'll turn there. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wow. Wow. How can he make something like that change to such a color? That's a God we have. That's a God. That's the one that created everything. So today, if there's something that is in your heart that you feel that isn't right, God is calling, repent. Come, bring it before my throne. Acknowledge it. Renew your mind. And then we could say that God wants to say, I'll prove to the world through you what is good and acceptable. May God give us that strength to, and the willingness of heart to repent so that he can do his work through each and every one of us as believers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus taught so clearly, and he said, without me, you can do nothing. God, I cannot breathe another breath of life without you. I cannot say another word without you. I cannot think another thought without your strength. I cannot go on living a life acceptable to you without you. So God, this morning, as each and every one that are listening, and God, you can look into our hearts and you know, are we struggling? There's just something that we wish would change. Maybe our love to our spouse. Maybe our love between us and our children. Maybe our family relationship with siblings, with grandchildren and so on. Our relationship in the church of believers. Our workplace. God, you know what we're struggling with. And so I come to you this morning and I pray, Lord, that at this time that you would so powerfully come with your spirit and intervene with your loving hand and give each and every one of us the strength that we need to repent where we need repentance. Go and apologize to those that we have hurt. And allow your love to flow through us. May you take away the closure of your free water flowing through our belly as it's been closed by the devil in many ways. That you would open up that pathway, that river, that it would flow so freely again. That people could honestly see that we are changed. And we have you in our life. Lord God, help us. Each and every one, bless everyone with your spirit, every one of us, so that you can do your work. And so at the end, you, O God, can be glorified for your marvelous work. Lord God, it is you that's done it. It's you that loved us, and we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. If there's anything else you feel that's on your heart, do you want to bring God the glory? Thank you, or a request to God. I want to give you all an opportunity for those that are able together with me. We're going to kneel in prayer for those that can't. Let's kneel mostly our hearts and bring our request to God. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Good morning. I have a few announcements here to make. One is a reminder from the Resolution Committee. Resolutions to be dealt with at the 2022 Brotherhood meeting need to be presented to the Resolution Committee by August 7, 2022. They can then be reviewed by the ministerial and be distributed to all churches for review, reflection, and prayer. The Resolution Committee will then be voted on at the annual Brotherhood meeting. The other thing is today at the German service, we will accept two members, Harold and Sarah Fair and Esther Fair, and they want to do a testimony before they are accepted in our church. So we'll just let you know that that's going to happen at the end of the German service. And the other one is for everyone that is interested in helping with the Henry Falk's funeral expenses. We would ask you if you want to donate, just put it in the box there in the, by the table in the home mission, and then we will see to it that the family will get that money that you're willing to share with them. And the funeral for Henry will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Birchwood Funeral Home. So thank you, and may God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming this morning. And as we leave here this morning, let's take the love of God with us. And if we have it, praise the Lord. Let's go out and let's allow it to flow through us in a way that we will make a difference in the world. There's many a person that needs your arm on their shoulder just showing that you love them. And so in benediction, I'll close with Jude. This morning we have built ourselves up in our most holy faith. We've been praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm asking you to keep yourselves in the love of God as Jude does. And continue to look for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have a chance, we're out there in the world. Let's go out. Let's have compassion. Let's go out. Let's make a difference, as Jude says in verse 22. And save those that are on their way to hell. Let's have a concern and let's have a care for those. And so at the end, thank you for coming, and close with the last two verses, 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go, but go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you.